Lecture 31, Stalin's Revolution.
In 1928, as I've already indicated, Stalin began to distance himself from Bukharin and the gradualist, market-based ideas of the new economic policy period of NEP. Instead, he began to lead the party and the state, and indeed the whole of the Soviet Union, toward a radical policy of state-directed industrialization, a policy that was, in fact, even more extreme than anything Trotsky had proposed, and certainly lacked the democratization within the party that Trotsky had said had to be part of this new revolution. This so-called revolution from above of Stalin, which had enormous consequences for millions of Russian and Soviet people, both positive and devastating consequences, is the subject of this lecture. Now, Stalin's change of course requires some explaining. The most cynical interpretation was offered by Bukharin, as he told Lev Kamenev, who had been allied with Trotsky before, and this is a point at which Bukharin is now the enemy of Stalin. In 1928, Bukharin told Kamenev the following. He explained it as rather simple, what Stalin was up to. Stalin, he said, is an unprincipled intriguer who subordinates everything to the preservation of his own power. He changes his theories according to whom he needs to get rid of at any given moment. It was now, of course, Bukharin's turn to be gotten rid of, and hence he changed all of his policies. And of course, Stalin had the administrative capacity to get rid of who he needed to at any given moment. A slight variation of this cynical interpretation, though also in many ways Machiavellian, is that Stalin was always committed to a more aggressive industrialization strategy than Bukharin was, than the right was, but he kept his views in the background for the purpose of defeating the political and economic program of Trotsky and the left, partly because he personally hated Trotsky and needed to get rid of him, but also in order to ensure his own ability to push the correct policy without competition. And in fact, we saw some evidence of this notion that Stalin secretly favored a more radical policy and kept it hidden when we talked about Stalin's own political orientation. However, it's also possible that there was a gradual evolution in Stalin's thinking, as in that of many others within the party leadership. An evolution toward a more radical course that was prompted by this complex combination of economic and social and political pressures of the 1920s that we've partly already looked at. Economic problems, especially severe by 1927, when it was clear that growth was really slowing rapidly, and food supplies were being delivered to the city in smaller and smaller quantities, and of course also by the growing discontent with NEP, which we've already seen. Whatever the causes of Stalin's turn against the policies of NEP, his turn for a more radical course of transforming society and building socialism, it's clear that once this turn took place, which became known as the Great Turn, it looked very much like a new revolution, or a new civil war, even. Militant class struggle, idealistic faith in the cause, collective and individual heroism, and a good deal of brutality and suffering. One sees this new militancy, for example, even in the economic plans on paper that were being announced at the end of the 1920s, especially in 1928 and after. The drafts of the first five-year plan in particular, which was to cover the years from 1928 to 1932. As these plans began to appear in 1928, early 1928, Bukharin's comments about them was absolutely scathing. He argued there really ought to be a difference between optimism and stupidity. Indeed, these plans for economic growth were optimistic to an extreme. During the drafting of the first five-year plan, there were strong political pressures coming from Stalin in particular to be more ambitious. In fact, when the plan showed up, it was sometimes sent back and said, it's too weak. Be more daring. Be more bold. The result was